Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al, opening with a nice little cough right there at the start. I just moving over to the microphone, and I had this urge to cough, and wouldn't you know, the red light comes on right at that time. So perfect timing there tonight. But at any rate, good to be with you tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, located in Richfield, Ohio. And we're going to be on until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about the program. You can read some articles that I have written over the years for our church newsletter. The latest one that's up there right now, Behold the Fig Tree, starts in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 21, where Jesus curses the fruitless fig tree on his way to Jerusalem, and the tree dries up and withers away. And it's a look at why he did that and the prophetic significance that I believe that there is with the cursing of the fig tree, and then also other passages that where Jesus says, "Behold the fig tree," and he talks about the fig tree shooting forth leaves. So that's up at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com right there in the center. And then, of course, if you go down the side, you can see some other materials as well as past programs. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program, the 10 o'clock hour and our 11 o'clock hour. Those are listed there on the side. And I think I'm up through this past Sunday, April 28th there. And then also our Friday programs are listed there on the side as well. And that one is currently through the 26th of April. And so that's in there as well. And you can check them out live with pastoral.com. If you missed a program or maybe fell asleep before the end of the program on Sunday night or something, you can catch it and find it at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, located Suite 200, Richfield, Ohio. And it's a commercial suite. I tell people, if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you're not going to find us. But if you look for a commercial suite and look for our door, you'll find us that way. We are located there. We've been there for 2 years and 1 month. And so that's where we're located. And we're about midway between Akron and Cleveland and near the intersection of Interstate 271 and 77. And also, you'll find us right there at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road. So pretty easy to get to, and we'd love to have you visit. We've got our regular services Sunday morning at our 11 o'clock service. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John, just finished John chapter 9. And then on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we are currently in Proverbs chapter 28, I believe it is. And then every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, we have an informal Bible study every Friday night, and people bring the questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we just talk about them. It's an informal setting. We've got refreshments and just have a nice time of fellowship as well, and fellowship around the Word of God. And if you can't stay for the whole 2 hours, that's fine as well. That I know sometimes people have to go, but we just enjoy having a chance to sit around, talk about the Bible, and ask questions, get a chance to find out what people are wondering about and people try to herd and things and want to talk about. So that's what we do on every Friday night. And then, of course, there's our Friday afternoon radio program right here on AM 1220 The Word every Friday afternoon at 1:30. We're sandwiched in between Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church, who's on at 1 o'clock, and then Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, who's on at 2 o'clock, and you'll find us right there in the middle from 1:30 until 2, and I hope you'll check us out there. And then, of course, every Sunday night right here from 10 till midnight. So there we are, and all that sort of stuff. That information will be repeated a little later on in the program as well. But check us out online live with PastorAl.com. And before we get off on too many things here tonight, just a couple of mentions here. This is Holocaust Memorial Day or Remembrance Day, and I'm going to touch on a couple things with that a little later on in the program. And it's also it's May the 5th, which, you know, well, some people recognize this as Cinco de Mayo Day, and so I had something here that we have in honor of that. On May 5th, we remember the famous naval battle that took place during the great condiment wars between the Unilever Empire and the Kraft-Heinz Alliance. Admiral Hellman captained the Mayo, the renowned flagship and pride of the Unilever Navy, as he pressed the attack against the combined navies of the Kraft-Heinz Alliance amongst the Thousand Islands. All seemed lost for the Alliance until Captain Mustard of the Grey Poupon, hurrying to catch up with Captain Oscar Meyer and the Orida, whipped around the island of Catalina, catching the Mayo by surprise, sinking it in a stunning maneuver still remembered today as the Miracle Whip. So that's our honor of Cinco de Mayo Day, Cinco de Mayo. And, the battle cry there. Well, tongue-in-cheek, of course. But at any rate, on to other things. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy waiting patiently for us. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Well, glad to have you.
Before I get started on my question, we just had a wonderful 45th anniversary of Bible Baptist Temple Day. It was a real blessing.
Oh, and I forgot. So, that is. That's your blessing, your anniversary Sunday there. Congratulations to the church.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question and comment tonight is regarding witnessing to people, and then if they start mocking you, what would be the best response? I'll just explain what I got into.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should not have started this because sort of getting into a hornet's nest. Okay, this was a picture of Tom Jones singing with Janis Joplin. And I was saying, before I got saved, I used to like listening to Tom Jones, but my tastes have completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
All things become new. I don't know where the exact Bible verse is. But, and then also, somebody suggested that I say, don't cast your pearls before the swine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my answer to some of them were really insulting. I got about 20 people that were really mocking me, but I think I did pretty good. I said, you know, what you're saying is against what God believes, what the Bible says, and you're taking it out on me, but you're not really mad at me. I'm just the conduit. Now, do you think that was a good response? Do you think that's okay to say that? Is there a Bible verse that says something similar to that? I know I've heard Pastor Andy, especially, say that, you know, if someone starts mocking you or saying something negative toward you when you're just sharing biblical truths, they're not really mad at you. They're mad at God, or they're mad at the Bible. So, you know, don't take it personally. So if you could comment on that, thank you.
Yeah, well, Jesus said in John chapter 15, and just looking here, verse 18, he said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And you know, so the idea is when we remind somebody of Christ, it's kind of like, you know, the person that turns a light on in a dark room. And, you know, everybody scrunches their eyes shut because their eyes hurt, you know, because of the sudden bright light. And especially if it's at night, people are sleeping and are trying to go to sleep. And you come in and flip on bright lights and people cry out, turn it off, turn it off. It bothers them. They don't want the light. And it's kind of a similar thing. I was just preaching in the Gospel of John this morning, and we just concluded chapter 9. We've been in it for a few weeks now. Chapter 9, talking about the blind man that Jesus gave him sight. I was telling our church, I can't say restored his sight because he never had any to begin with. So he gave him sight for the first time. And it is a picture of those who are blind but cannot see. And then because he wanted to know the truth, he was able to find Christ. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders that were there, they were far worse in terms of blindness than this blind man was, because even though physically they could see, spiritually they could not see, and they were the worst kind of blindness. They didn't want to see, like the old saying, none so blind as he who will not see. And there are a lot of people who do not want to see. And so when you share the light of the gospel, it bothers them. They like the darkness, and it bothers them. Another reaction sometimes is a lot of people convince themselves they're just not that bad. You know, I can always find somebody that's worse than me if I want to compare myself to people. But when you compare yourself to Christ, nobody measures up. As the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. And none of us can measure up to Christ. So When you witness to people, sometimes you'll get that reaction. They don't want the light. They don't want to see themselves compared to Christ. They don't want to admit that there's any flaws, that there's anything wrong. And of course, you know, the problem is if you never admit that you're lost, you're never going to get saved.
Of course, in
the blind man here in John chapter 9. He admitted that he had a problem. He didn't try to cover up that he was blind. He needed a miracle, and he received it, and God gave him his sight. And then that's in the physical realm. But if you apply that as an analogy to the spiritual realm, you know, he also realized that he needed a Messiah, and he embraced Christ as his Messiah there in John chapter 9, because it says in Jesus had the interchange with him in verse 35, where he says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And Son of God's all capitalized there because it's referring to him as the Messiah. And the blind man is said, answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And yet then there's the Jewish leaders that were right there, and some of them heard and saw this, and they said, "Are you saying we're blind as well?" And, well, they were blind because they didn't want to see.
They
didn't want to admit that they had any problem. They didn't want to look at Christ. They'd already made up their mind they wanted to reject them. And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." The only way they're going to find salvation is if they're willing to admit that they have a problem, and they're not willing to. And
You know, these people that were making comments, several of them said, "You are delusional. You need psychiatric help." And I mean, it's like they were just attacking me. I guess it made them feel better or something, but I really did not take it personally, because I know they're lost and they're just saying ridiculous things, that because I know what the truth is of the gospel. But anyhow, I did. There was something really good that came out of this whole communication with a lot of people. This one lady, she opened up to me, and she said, she lives in Ontario. She says, you know, I've been searching for the truth. I've been trying to find the true God. I've gone to Jehovah's Witness. I've gone to Catholic Church. And she says, can you please help me? What an opening. I was so excited. So I've been privately counseling her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a real blessing, even though it was sort of insulting to get all these slanderous comments. And then I did have three really committed Christians that were giving me advice and standing up with me. And, you know, so you know, there was some positive things that came out of it. But anyhow, well, thank you very much. And I appreciate your input. Thank
you. I would add one more thing to that, too, Nancy. I was just thinking as you were talking, the world doesn't always understand your motivations and the why, you know, as mm-hmm. the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So because of their lost condition, they don't understand what you're doing in response to the Spirit of God guiding and directing you. And I was reminded of a guy, he's with the Lord now, but many years ago, this is back in the 1980s, 90s time frame, late 80s, early 90s. And he got saved later in life. You know, I think he was like 78 or 79 when he put his faith in Christ, and he was gloriously saved, and he really got involved serving God and going into nursing homes and all that, and he's somebody who used to live a rather worldly lifestyle, a lot of partying and all that, and he said that he made the decision that he's going to, you know, when he put his faith in Christ, that he was going to live for the Lord, and God directed him to do a number of things. And one of the people in the community that had known him for decades said to him, "What have you done that you have to do such all these things for?" Because he couldn't understand how, led by the Spirit of God, that he would give up things that he once loved. And stop doing things that he once loved, and instead start going to church and start going into nursing homes and talking to people about the Lord. He was convinced, well, you must have done something really bad that you're trying to impress God or something. He couldn't understand it because he wasn't saved.
Interesting.
And so he was, in a sense, making light of his motivations, almost insulting them, saying, well, you're not really doing these things because you think these are the right things to do. You're doing these things because you did something really bad and you're trying to smooth it over with God. The natural man just doesn't understand when God's working in the life of a believer sometimes why you do the things and why your motivations are such as they are. And so.
Oh, and then I was just going to add about five people that said, oh, you're delusional, you know, you need psychiatric help and stuff like they were trying to really insult me. And so each one of them that I said this to each one of them, you're not really upset with me. You're mad at God and you don't like what's in the Bible and I'm going to pray for you. You know what? None of them answered me after that. I think I got them thinking, or the Holy Spirit was telling me what to say.
Yeah. Well, so, the Spirit of God is working their heart. Pray for them. Cause really, you know,
I told them I am praying for them.
Yeah. And
especially this lady that reached out to me and said, can you help me? I've really been searching for years. Yeah. So I was very, very happy to have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Pastor Al.
Thank you. And again, tell Pastor Snacko our congratulations on the church anniversary as well. So
thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate the call tonight, Nancy. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry calling in tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. We got to you early tonight. How about that?
Yeah, it sounds good. I got to get up early in the morning.
Well, there we go. There we go. So
I got to be in Woodstock. It's about 45 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I still get, I'm still always up late.
Yeah.
No matter what I do, I'm always up till about midnight anyway. So.
Yeah, I'm a late night person myself. So.
I've always had sleeping habits. Bad sleeping habits.
Well, I've always tried to look at it as if you get sufficient sleep, it shouldn't matter exactly what time you go to bed and what time you get up. I remember one time having a discussion with somebody, and they said, "Well, if you got up earlier instead of spending all day in bed, you'd get more done." And I casually pointed out that, well, I was at the time, I think I was going to bed like at about midnight or so, and getting up at about 7 a.m. And the person that I was being compared to, that I should be more like, was going to bed about 8 p.m. and getting up at 6 a.m. And I made the comment, well, you know, I don't spend near as much time in bed as the other person does. And then they change the subject. But
well, I've been taking sleeping pills for quite a few years.
Hmm.
And that seems to be the only way that I can get to sleep.
My way is I lay down and my head hits the pillow. I was fairly fortunate. I generally drop off to sleep in a couple of minutes, and I'll be sitting drinking a cup of coffee, working on the computer, and I'll turn things off, and it might be 2 a.m. and I lay down, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can pray for me. You guys, people can pray for me on that. I've been having problems with that for years and years and years. But anyway, I was going to mention something that your affiliate said that really bothered me.
What's that?
He said that the gifts of this people that believe that the gifts are not for me.
I'm gonna have to back up first. Are we talking about any other programs or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't hear anything before I got here, so.
Yeah, and he was saying that that the people that don't believe that the gifts are for today, it's considered the spirit of the devil, spirit of Antichrist.
Okay.
What?
My
stomach turned when he said that. That the gifts are not for today. That the gifts are for. They believe the gifts are for today, like tongues, speaking in tongues, and all.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that. And you know, this is a chronic thing that comes up periodically, and I'm always reminded of reading this one book where this guy had about 20 some people that supposedly spoke in tongues, and they assured him that it was of Christ and it was for today, and he asked them, oh, okay, you know, we should try the spirits. Is that okay with you? And go, well, of course, it's the Holy, it's the Spirit of God. It's, of course, try the spirits. And he said in 19 out of the 20, in each case, the spirit identified itself as a false spirit. And the 20th person, the person said, well, Pastor, you don't have to try. I just make it up. You know, so I've heard too many stories like that. The speaking in tongues that generally goes on is not done in accordance with the way that it's laid out in the Bible. If it were for today, okay? Right. If it were for today, I'm sorry?
Oh, they don't even do it right in to begin with, yeah.
Yeah, if it were for today, the Bible would give us instruction on how it should be carried out. And the best instruction, and this is what I simply submit to people. I've done this in our Friday night Bible study. I might have done this on the air in the past too. But if anybody has ever been to a service where they speak in tongues, or watched a service where they speak in tongues, or had somebody describe a service where they speak in tongues to them, here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to check all things out by the Word of God, not by how it makes us feel, not by, you know, whether or not Dr. So-and-so or Evangelist so-and-so is promoting it, not even if our own family members have told us it just seems right. You know, we're supposed to check everything out in accordance with the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So speaking in tongues, well, let's Let me just read what Paul wrote about this. And I just want people who have been in a tongue service, experienced it, watched it happen, whatever, compare to the law and the testimony, to the Word of God, your experience with the written Word of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 14, and starting in verse number 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, I find that rather interesting because, notice what he said there, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. That's one thing to keep in mind. Well, let me just keep reading. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Meaning, if everybody in the church, or a whole bunch of people in the church, are all at the same time speaking in tongues, he says, aren't they going to say that you're mad? Well, he continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convicted of all, he is judged of all. Now, not getting into the prophecy aspect there, but he's talking about proclaiming the word of God here. Prophesying can be either foretelling, meaning an actual prediction of something that's going to take place, or giving forth the word that's not been given before. Like when the Old Testament prophet said, thus saith the Lord. Prophesying can also be forthtelling when you, as a servant of God, read the scripture and expound the scripture. And so, when your pastor was preaching to you today, if he's preaching out of the word of God, he was prophesying because he was forthtelling. He read the scripture and he told you what it meant. But let's continue on down. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, okay, here's a rule. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Did you catch that? Here's some rules in the Word of God, to the law and to the testimony. Take your experience. Take what you saw. Take what you observed. Take what somebody told you and plug it in to what Paul just told us here. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three. Do you know what that means? At most two or three people in the service are to speak in tongues. At most, not two or three dozen.
And one interpreter.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that. And then that by course, which means they're to take turns, not at the same time. One person speaks, then when he's done, a second person speaks. When he's done, maybe at most a third person speaks. They take their turns. And then there has to be someone who will interpret and say, well, the interpretation is not that important. Well, why does it say in the next verse, verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. It's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes.
These are the rules. It's supposed to be according to God's word. Now, I've been in some tongue services, and I've observed some tongue services firsthand and, via media, and I've had some tongue services described to me. I remember the first time I was ever in a service where they spoke in tongues, one person started, and then all over the place, dozens of people all at the same time, they certainly didn't take turns. There was more than two or three dozen, which is certainly more than two or three. No one interpreted. They didn't take turns. They did not follow the word of God. And since there was nobody given interpretations, they should have kept silence. Now, I'm sorry. If you are going to claim that something is biblical, you can't have part of it and then not have the part that you don't like. This says specifically, If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. This is pretty clear. This is chapter and verse. This is not Pastor Al's interpretation. I'm just reading this to the law and to the testimony. Hey, we've got a break coming up, Terry. If you want to hold for a few minutes, we can pick this up on the other side of the break. But again, this is what we want people to do. Don't believe something because I say it or somebody else on the radio said it or even a pastor said it. Believe it because you've compared it to the scriptures. Well, stay tuned. We got another hour and a half to go tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And, of course, a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can look at some of the articles that I have on there on various topics. And there's some other materials and things. There's some word searches there that you can download and feel free to use. And I got to probably put together some more word searches here. Every once in a while, I get away from that for a while and think about it, and so we have to get a couple more of those up and running. But also, a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Just heard about that there in the break. Got more of the information on that at the top of the hour. But also brought to you tonight, in addition to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, that's our primary sponsor, but we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889, that's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in perhaps maybe even adding pizza to, if you've got a restaurant or something, and or maybe you're just wanting to get started in the pizza business yourself, if you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, ask, talk with Gus, you can ask him how he can help you get set up in your own business, not a franchise, but your own business, and let him know you heard about him here on East Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Now, see, I got distracted there because I looked up, and Kenny, our call screener producer, is in there eating East Coast pizza as we speak.
Delicious.
And last week, I felt guilty. We had somebody who's been doing some work out on the east side, and he's brought some of East Coast pizza to our Bible study the last couple of Friday nights. So a week ago Friday, he had brought some, and I had some on the refrigerator that I could have brought to Kenny last week, and, well, I ate it, so I felt bad. Well, he brought some more pizza last Friday night, and he had one that I actually had not had before. It was the vegetarian pizza, and I thought it was quite good myself, and
what this is fantastic.
Yeah, and again, 3 day old in my refrigerator. So
yeah, no, we could do this every week. I think this is a great bit.
Well, there we go. Keep you well fed in there. But I've had the what do they call the one that's got like garlic on white pizza or whatever? It's like a white sauce.
White pizza is really good.
And he's got an excellent one of them. It's been a long time since I had that. And I like his deluxe pizza with all the trimmings on it. I understand, and maybe Kenny, you've heard a little bit of this on our sister station. There's been a controversy with one of the talk show hosts and his call screener over pepperoni versus sausage pizza.
Yeah. Why not both?
That's my opinion. I think both. But for those of you who listen to Bob France, I'm trying to think of Seth's last name, Williams, right? Seth, I think it's Williams. Seth Williams. He actually did our program for a little while before Kenny came in. And so I could have had this conversation with him as well. I think he would have gone for the sausage pizza. And I guess Bob France is a big pepperoni guy, and he's the sausage guy. But I agree with you, Kenny.
See, if you ask me sausage or pepperoni, I say yes.
Yes, both.
Yes.
Absolutely both. Absolutely. And I've had sausage pepperoni from Gus, and it's good. It's good, especially when you add everything else on it, too, for the deluxe. You get sausage, pepperoni, onions, green peppers, all the good stuff that makes it worth eating. So, at any rate, there's our pizza commercial update for tonight. But I'm glad that I got another opinion on the vegetable pizza. Like I said, I had it Friday night the first time, and I thought it was excellent. So
yeah, fantastic.
All right. Well, we aim to please, and certainly East Coast Pizza aims to please. And to check them out, as I said, 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right. We're going to get back to our program tonight. And I had to watch Kenny eat that pizza there this whole time. I could have ate it, but I didn't. I held on.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to Terry here, and switching back to, we were talking about not pizza, but tongues, another Bible issue. And we're going to get back to that. Terry, are you still there?
Yes.
All right.
Well, something that,
yes. Go ahead.
I mentioned something that I believe about tongues, is that tongues appeared only briefly in Acts, 1 Corinthians, and the new message of the gospel being spread. But once the church was established, tongues was gone, they stopped. The later books of the latter books of the New Testament did not mention tongues again, and neither did anyone in the past apostolistic age.
Well, and you're right with that. Yeah, you're right with that, and then that's another area, and that's why I'm glad you were able to hold on this, because as we were pointing out my point before the break is, if, and you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt, if tongues were for today, it would have to be practiced in accordance to the rules laid down in the scripture, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think if most people are honest and they read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27, where it says, if any man speak an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, meaning take turns, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. I think most people, if they're honest, are going to say that's not what happens. It's usually a bunch of people all speaking at once. Nobody knows what's being said. And then there was another part, and this picks up on what you said, where it said, I read it earlier, where it said in, Paul said in, he said that in verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And that's where we need to go back to Acts chapter 2 for a little history on this. And in Acts chapter 2, remember, it's on the day of Pentecost, and they were waiting in the upper room there where Jesus had told them to tarry until, they were filled with power. And that's when the Spirit of God came on them in Acts chapter 2, starting verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, let me pause for just a minute here. I'm not saying that the Bible says that if you're going to speak in tongues, you got to have cloven tongues of fire sitting on your head. That's just what happened in this case. But what we read in Acts chapter 14, those are rules that have to take place. One, two, or three at the most people speak in tongues, and they're supposed to take turns individually. One person, then the second person, then at most the third person, no more than three, and there has to be an interpretation. If there's no interpreter there to keep silent, that's what the Bible says. If tongues are going to be practiced, got to be practiced according to the Word of God. But what we're looking at here is the idea that tongues were for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And this is what we see here. They in back to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, here's where we begin to learn some things. They begin to speak, he says, with other tongues. The word tongues literally means languages. And it says here in the next few verses, in verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised about, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So what were the languages that they spoke? Was it a heavenly language that nobody knew? A language of angels, or was it the language of people?
Ethnic languages.
Yeah, the people are listed. These people were from all over. It was, you know, people had come to Jerusalem for the holy days, and they had stayed as long as they could. Many were able to stay for Pentecost. Many of them had been there since Passover, and so they're from all over the world, the known world. They had their native tongues, And many of them spoke Hebrew, but they spoke, you know, Latin, they spoke Greek, they spoke Arabian, they spoke all kinds of different languages. And they said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So this very first instance that we record in Acts chapter 2 of speaking in tongues, it was in known languages of people who were there to hear and to interpret what they were saying. And they were all amazed, it says in verse 12, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that are dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is that which is spoken by, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see dreams, and your old men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And he continues talking about what's going to happen, but he begins to tell them, and it becomes clear that the speaking in these tongues of other people was a sign not to the believers, not to the disciples that knew who Jesus was. It was a sign to the unbelievers, to the Jews who did not know Jesus, who were gathered there. And remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 that it was a sign not to believers, but to unbelievers.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Like, how simple can it be?
Yeah, and
people complicate it.
Yeah, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they began to speak in tongues. It didn't say they received the Holy Ghost. They were filled with Him. And there's a difference between receiving the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Receiving the Holy Ghost, if you came to visit me, Terry, to my house, okay, and I received you into my house, you would be there, but you don't fill my house because I might have some rooms that you're not free to go into, or some closets you're not free to poke around in, or maybe some cupboards that you're not free to poke around in. So you're not filling the house. You don't have free rein to go anywhere in the house anytime you want. You're in the house, but you're kind of restricted. That's what we do when we receive Christ. And the Spirit of God indwells us. We receive His Spirit, as Jesus said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You cannot be saved in this dispensation without having the Spirit of God in you. But the problem is, we sit the Holy Spirit down in one room and we say, now stay here, I'll come and talk to you when I need you. But He wants to fill every part of our life.
Every aspect of life.
He wants to be able to rummage around in your closets, in your cupboards, in your dresser drawers, go into any room, every room, basement, attic. He wants to be able to go anywhere in the house at any time He wants to. He wants to fill your house. And we don't usually let Him do that. But, you know, the secret of being able to be used of God to do things is to allow Him free reign over every area of our life. Even when Peter preached to Cornelius in his household and they spoke in tongues, it was because the Jews didn't think the gospel was for the Gentiles. So, again, it was a sign to unbelievers.
And he was the first Gentile to be to become a Christian.
Well, that we see recorded in the scriptures. Probably was others, but what I'm getting at is the Jews were unbelieving in regards to the gospel going to the Gentiles until they saw him speak in tongues, and it reassured Peter and those with him. Then when they had told that to them in Jerusalem, they came and they investigated and they said, hey, this is what happened. You know, and they said, how can we deny it? You know, because the same thing happened to us, happened to them. And then they believed. So unbelief doesn't necessarily mean unsaved, because the early Christians, some of them did not believe. They were unbelievers in the sense they did not believe the gospel was for the Gentile until Cornelius and his household spoke in tongues. And that was a sign to them, and now they believed that the gospel was for the Gentiles. So remember, it's a sign.
One thing that I was studying this week too, it kind of coincides with what we're talking about. is that the Holy Spirit, unless we have the Holy Spirit, we can't be justified, we can't be sanctified, and we can't be glorified.
No, not at all.
That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit justifies us.
Yeah.
Justifies us, sanctifies us, and glorifies us.
Exactly. And not only that, he educates us, and he guides us, and he directs us, and he brings things to our memory, and he empowers us. I mean, there's so many things that we could add on to that list.
Yeah.
But
that's one of the things I was going to bring up, if I could, quickly.
Yeah.
That was part of what I was going to bring up. That's one thing I text the Mormons about, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I checked some other scriptures too about, you know, how we can, that we're all sinners.
You
know, yes. Like Romans 3:23, Genesis 8:21, Ecclesiastes 9:9, Jeremiah 17:9, and so on, Romans 6:23. And I shared all these scriptures to them. And they said to me, I have to say this, and I shared also, I shared with them 2 Timothy 3:16. Where it says that all scripture is given for reproof, for correction, for all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also give them another scripture where no man came from heaven, but Jesus only. And that's in the King James Bible. The only one that came to heaven, came from heaven, was Jesus. And the only one that went back to heaven was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one. Not, they say that everybody came from heaven.
Yeah, because they believe that in Mormonism that you become the god of your own world, and then you have spirit, you have goddess wives, and they produce spirit babies that then populate the people on your planet.
Yeah, you know what they said to me? They said, I said to them, I couldn't understand why they weren't talking to me. And they said, no thanks, we're good. We would much rather meet with other than keep debating scriptures with you.
Yeah,
and all I did was share scriptures with them. I texted them scriptures.
Well, what happened is you got too close to making them uncomfortable, so they had to move on.
Yeah,
sense, it's a variation, and I've seen this happen when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands back in the 1990s, in a large Mormon population there, and. Several times when I would talk to some of them in the marketplace, we would get close to something, and you could tell if you were making them uncomfortable, because a lot of times they would lapse into this. I bear you my testimony that, you know, Joseph Smith is a prophet, or whatever. How I used to know how it went, and I had been reading some materials by a guy who worked with Mormons quite a bit, and he said one thing I always remember: if they start doing that, it's because you got too close to making an impact on them, and you shook them, and it's like a form of centering to get them back on track, you know, to sort of center them back on what they believe, because you shook them in some fashion.
Right.
And he actually said, if they start doing that I bear you my testimony thing, he says, it might sound rude, but you need to interrupt them. Because once they do that, it's like self-hypnosis. They get centered back in what they're talking, and you lose ground. And he said, you got to interrupt them when they start doing that. And so it's going to ask.
They'll change the subject quite quickly.
Yeah.
One of the things that they said to me is that when I said, you know, I was only sharing scriptures with you, they said, don't worry, we also believe in the Bible, and we think it's the Word of God. So
yeah.
You don't have to give it to us. We're good in that department.
Yeah. Well, here's something that they also believe, like the Mormons do. Whatever comes later can supersede what came earlier. So they may say they believe the Bible, but if it contradicts something that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said later, then they go with that, because they don't see any problem with it, because they believe that the later revelation supersedes the older revelation. So if there's ever any contradiction, you go with what came latest. And that's just like the Mormon doctrine of abrogation, where the earlier peaceful verses, when Muhammad was not in a position of power were overridden by the later more powerful warlike verses, such as the verse of the sword, where Muhammad now had power and didn't have to be conciliatory towards the Jews and the Christians anymore. So you just go with whatever was later. It's a great way that cults have of getting around the contradiction principle, because Bible-believing Christians, if there's a contradiction, like we were talking about with tongues, if there's a contradiction, we're supposed to go to the law and to the testimony, not to whatever was said latest.
Yeah, and the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Why not use the Word of God when we're speaking to one another?
Exactly.
And so, the last thing they said to me, and I don't think they'll be talking to me anytime soon, unfortunately. But it says, no, we're saying that we don't need help like you.
Right. Well,
there in scriptures, because we are perfectly capable of doing it ourselves.
Well, again, like what I told Nancy earlier in the program tonight, that's a lot like what Jesus in his encounter with the Pharisees there in John chapter 9, where Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And the idea, unless they're willing to admit that they have a problem or that they need help, they're never going to get it. And that's the problem.
That's what it all boils down to right there. And I ask people out there to pray for them.
Oh, we do. We need to pray for people because they're unsafe. They don't understand the things of the Bible through Mormonism, through whatever group. They're given something that helps make sense of it. To the natural man, the devil's more than happy for somebody to be religious as long as they stay lost, and he'll give them whatever they need and to keep them lost, but keep them away from the truth.
We got to remember too that we're dealing with the spiritual. We're not dealing with flesh and blood, but spiritual.
It's a spiritual battle. Yes.
And the devil's got them right where he wants.
Oh, exactly. Hey,
that's the sad thing about it.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on the break here, Terry. We're going to have to be letting you go tonight. But again, thank you for calling in about that. Appreciate that. And I'm sure we'll be talking in the future about some of these things again. And again, just trying to remind people, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, to these things that's in the Bible, that's what we compare it to. That's why you need to be in a church that preaches the Word of God. That's why when you're in church, even if it's a church that preaches the Word of God, you need to have the Bible sitting there with you open. And follow along in your Bible while your preacher's preaching. I encourage people to do that to me, because sometimes I read it wrong.
What the Bereans did. They didn't just take everything that Paul had to say to your heart. They looked it up to find out for themselves.
Exactly. They checked it out. They made sure that what he was saying was scriptural. And that's exactly what we should be doing today. To the law and to the testimony, they agree not with these things, speak not with these things. This is what we need to do. We need to go back to that, compare everything to the scriptures. And again, Terry, thanks for calling in tonight. And we're going to take a short break. We've got Tom who's waiting patiently for us. So if Tom can hold on for a few moments, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back for another hour. Drag queen story hours in our schools and churches, gender dysphoric men dominating women's sports, violence and anarchy taking over our streets, all encouraged and promoted by politicians, school boards, teachers' unions, even churches. America is spiraling into an abyss of spiritual darkness and moral insanity. Now more than ever, God's people need to shine forth as beacons of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But what if they won't heed the light? Well, as President Reagan used to say, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. Unfortunately, many churches have abandoned the Word of God for the philosophies of men, and their light has gone out. The fire has gone out in their pulpits, and they've become lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They need to repent and turn back to God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Don't hide your light. Light a fire. Stand up. Speak out. Vote and make them feel the heat.